obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the P&amp;Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits that were introduced at the P&amp;Z hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting the application. Council may question the applicant or their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the podium, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Abbott, and he will make it part of the record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that have already been made. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device, please turn it to silent mode now. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, the council may approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Abbott, first hearing.
I passed down a copy of an exhibit booklet and a copy of the site plan for your review. The first application is conditional use 1867, application of Lawson's Produce LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a mulch facility to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.2 acres, lying east of Route 5, south of the railroad, and 1,700 feet south of Route 9. The Planning Commission held their public hearings on October 28th of this year. The Commission had received comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District, and the Secretary of Agriculture. The applicants were present and gave their presentation. There was one person that was present that spoke in opposition to this application. On the 28th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. Last Wednesday, November 10th, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1867 for Lawson's Produce, LLC, based upon the record and for the following reasons. The use as a mulch facility will benefit the citizens and the environment of Sussex County. By recycling tree trimmings and other tree materials, there will be a reduction of materials going to the landfills. Two, the use with the conditions placed upon it will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. Three, the use is adjacent to the applicant's family farm, which has been in operation for many years. The use is consistent with agricultural operations as confirmed by the Delaware Secretary of Agriculture. Four, the use promotes the conservation element of the county's comprehensive land use plan, and it is consistent with the AR1 zoning of the property. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the use shall be limited to a mulching facility only. There shall not be any composting permitted on the site. No lumber, stumps, or construction waste shall be accepted at the site. Two, the applicant shall install a 6-foot-tall solid vinyl fence along the western boundary of the mulching operation, screening and separating the operation from adjacent neighbors. The location of the fence shall be shown on the final site plan. 3, grinding and dyeing or processing hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. 4, there shall be no grinding or dyeing operations within 100 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for grinding and dyeing shall be shown on the final site plan. 5, there shall not be any mulch storage within 20 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for mulch storage shall be shown on the final site plan. 6, the applicant shall control delivery of wood and tree materials to the site. Acceptance hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The site shall be gated so that after-hour deliveries or dumping do not occur. 7, the sales and delivery hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days per week. 8, water shall be available to control dust and for fire prevention within the site. And finally, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and second. This application carried with 3 votes to forward it to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated and with the conditions stated. There were 2 commission members absent, and we have not received any additional correspondence.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from Council? If not, I would like to make a statement prior to the hearing. I have represented over the years both Mr. Lawson's. The elder Mr. Lawson has known me all my life. The younger Mr. Lawson, I have known all his life. However, this appears to be a rather routine matter. I do not have a vote. I feel I can conduct the public hearing fairly, and if there would be any questions on any legal matters may come up, I would request that they would be a question of one of the assistant legal counsel. So having said that, Mr. Lawson, is it the younger Mr. Lawson, Clifford, starting first? Or
Do we Mr. refer Lawson? To him as Lawson the elder?
And the younger?
Lawson How about the younger?
Bob?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the Sussex County Council, I'm Bob Lawson. My father purchased land in Harbison for the purpose of building a feed house and starting Harbison Feed Company. From the feed company, he started Lawson Construction Company and the farm operation. In 1971, my wife and I started and continued to operate Rodi Heritage Farms. We have encouraged our sons to continue the operation. For the first time, I feel threatened about our farm operation. Our neighbor, Mr. Dave Konskowski, has presented to planning and zoning statements that have a direct impact on our farm operation. He's not a full-time resident of Harbison. This is a vacation home that he uses maybe 50 nights a year. I know it may be an imposition to hear a motor running in the morning before you get out of bed, but sometimes our operation depends on Mother Nature. And in the statement to planning and zoning, he said he has been awakened a couple of times by the noise of a loader. We do not start the mulch operation until 8 a.m. So if he was awakened before 8, it must have been because of the farm operation. He has known of our operation at the farm for many years when he was vacationing here. His relatives have even helped work at the market. When he wanted to put a new home on his property, he contacted us so he could use our entrance to move the sections of his home onto his lot and not have to remove some of those trees. If the mulch operation was so bad, why did he locate the new house about 70 feet back, closer to where we operate our grinder? He was aware of the mulch and the farm operation existed. We have contacted the adjacent landowners, and no one has objected to our mulch, our farm, or our market operations except our neighbor. This is a fine example of how an outsider on vacation has come to Sussex County and is trying to regulate or change our lifestyle, which will affect our livelihoods. In the mulch grinding is an agriculture operation where we take tree chips only, no stumps, no boards, no waste wood, and regrind them to produce mulch, which in turn is used on or around plants to help hold moisture and to prevent grass and weed intrusion. We, along with a lot of gardeners, mulch our garden plants that produce the vegetables that we sell at our produce market. The reason we never applied for rezoning is the land was already AR1, which is contiguous to an agriculture operation and is confirmed by a letter from the Secretary of Agriculture, Ed Key, and the planning and zoning findings. Therefore, we never thought we were required to seek a zoning change. As far as any nuisance that have been implied by our neighbor, I would like to cite, for the record, the Delaware Right to Farm Bill, Title III, Agriculture and Regulatory Provisions, Chapter 14, Agriculture and Forestal Nuisances. And I'll just read the first sentence here. No agriculture or forestal operation within the state which has been in operation for a period of more than 1 year shall be considered a nuisance, either public or private, as a result of changed condition in or about the locality where such agriculture or forestry operation is located. So in conclusion, I would hope that the County Council would take into consideration of what we are dealing with and that the operation is a good, viable agriculture operation.
Any questions of Mr. Lawson? If not, do you have another witness?
Yes, Clifford Lawson. I own Lawson's Produce, LLC. I would like to review the planning and zoning recommendations that were made to us. Number one, the use shall be limited to a mulching facility. There shall not be any composting permitted on site. No lumber, stumps, or construction waste shall be accepted at the site. Lawson Produce agrees to this recommendation from planning and zoning. Number two, the applicant shall install a 6-foot-tall solid vinyl fence along the western boundary of the mulching operation, screening and separating operation from adjacent neighbors. The location of the fence shall be shown on the final site plan. Lawson Produce does not agree with this recommendation and offers the following points. Requiring a new fence to be installed is unnecessary and cost prohibited. The mulch business is an agriculture operation located on an AR1 zone field adjacent to nearly 176 acres of farmland. Fencing is not required for an agriculture operation. The current property line setbacks for the operation, which are discussed in items 4 and 5 below, will provide adequate separation from the mulch operation. The mulch operation is on leased ground that is scheduled to be developed into a housing community in the future. The installation of a fence for a short time period is unnecessary and cost prohibited. In the alternative, Lawson Produce recommends the following. Move the mulching operation away from the adjacent neighbors as described in items 4 and 5. Number three, grinding and dyeing or processing hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Lawson Produce agrees to this recommendation as it usually operates within these hours. However, Lawson Produce would ask the commission to allow a waiver to this time frame should an unforeseen event arise, such as equipment failure or weather delays, or weather cause delays. In such case, Lawson's Produce would seek a temporary extension processing hours to ensure an adequate product inventory. Four, there shall be no grinding or dyeing operation within 100 feet from the neighboring property line. The area set aside for grinding and dyeing will be shown on the final site plan. Lawson Produce agrees to this recommendation. There shall be no mulch storage within 20 feet of any neighboring property line. The area set aside for mulch should be shown on the final site plan. Lawson Produce agrees to this recommendation. Number six, the applicant should control delivery of wood and tree materials to the site. Acceptance hours will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The site shall be gated so that the after-hour deliveries or dumping do not occur. Lawson Produce does not agree with this recommendation and offers the following points. Limiting the hours of a tree service can access the property to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. is impractical due to the nature of a tree company's business. Tree companies can operate on a 24-hour schedule in case of emergencies due to weather-related conditions. For example, during last year's blizzard or northeasters, the tree companies worked around the clock clearing trees and debris from electric lines, streets, and homes. They needed to deliver their materials to stay in operation, and that wasn't always from 9 to 6. Lawson's Produce provided the equipment and area for safe unloading during these weather-related incidents. The property used for mulch operation also serves as a family farm, which requires the use of large farm equipment throughout the property. The installation of a gate would prohibit the movement of farm equipment. A gate is not necessary to limit access to the property to receive tree materials. Lawson Produce knows the businesses that deliver to its property. It can limit the hours of delivery through an agreement with the participating tree services. In the alternative, Lawson Produce recommends the following. Limit the entrance points of the tree service companies. In the future, access to the mulch operations would be limited to a northeast entrance to the property. This is the furthest point from any neighboring property line and has Lawson's property on each side of it. Limit the unloading points of tree service companies. In the future, vehicles would only be permitted to unload to designated areas, which will be in the same outlined items of 400 feet away from any neighboring property lines. Sales and deliveries would be limited to a 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days per week. Lawson Produce does not agree with this recommendation, offers the following points. Due to the nature of mulching and landscaping, Lawson Produce customers routinely begin their day as early as possible to avoid the excessive heat. During the spring and summer months, the peak season for Lawson's Produce, customers require their mulch products before 9 a.m. In fact, by 9 a.m., many professional landscapers and lawn services will require a second load to fill their contracts. Limiting the sales and delivery hours to 9 a.m. will severely affect the business. Other businesses located in Harbison, including Allen's Poultry Processing, operate outside the 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. time frame. In the alternative, Lawson's Produce recommendation is the following. Operation from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days per week. Number eight, water shall be available to control dust and prevent fire within the site. Lawson Produce agrees to this recommendation. And the final site plan to review and approval for the Planning and Zoning Commission. Lawson Produce also agrees with this recommendation.
Okay. Do you have any other witnesses?
Can I submit a copy of this?
Yes, absolutely.
To Mr. Shane?
Please. Does council have any questions of the applicants?
How far away from the house will you be doing the dyeing? Would that be 100 feet?
Yes.
From the nearest neighbor?
Yes, 100 feet.
100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was recommended from planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where is that on this?
That would be submitted on our final site plan.
That's
but
the plan that we
show you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where would it typically be? Right in there. Mm-hmm. And the dyeing occurs in this area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition?
Bob, right before you leave, on this site plan you gave, it says other lands of communities of Beaver Creek. This piece of ground is part of the Beaver Creek communities,
yes,
is what you're saying?
Yeah. I rent whole farm and farm it, and Clifford rents the section that's marked off for our mulch area.
Okay, and you rent it from who?
Beaver Creek.
Who are they?
That's George Wiss.
Somewhere.
Maryland. Yeah.
Virginia.
Okay. They own
and
land. So you're
they
just.
They own the land. And okay. It's going to go into development.
Someday.
Very soon.
Because I know the front, it's a tricky situation here because we know it's all agriculture, but the whole front there, Harbison Road and everything, is one old house after another. And it is a residential area. And this is behind it. So the closest home is the guy up front, right? So you're
yes,
all
sir.
Behind here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We chill out to Route 5 and several places all the way along there.
Along the right, further down or somewhere.
But they're according to Rick Condaniel, and I don't have his permission to use his name, so maybe I shouldn't, I'm sorry. It's going to be a couple of years when they start groundbreaking there.
Well, there's no market for any houses anywhere, so I can't imagine anybody. Okay.
They did the one up on 5 north of Harbison, and... One over on 9 is still
excuse me, Mr. Lawson, do you mind going back to the podium?
I'm sorry.
Because it's broadcast on the net.
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, I was just trying to get a feel of who the Beaver Creek. I took that to think maybe it was part of your farm and you owned the farm, but you're just renting
all
this
land. No, sir.
And you're going to use it, rent this for a time being. Once this gets developed, you're out of the mulch business, is basically what you're saying?
We'll have to be reestablished.
Somewhere else?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And that's why putting a fence up there right now is by the time we get it up there and sighted down the street, we're going to have to tear it down because we're going to be moving.
So within a short period of time, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Cab.
Any other questions?
You know how conditional use permits do run with the land and stuff like this? Is there a way that this thing disappears when the subdivision, you know, what happens? I mean, would it have to be inactive for a couple years, or would it? Is there some kind of wording that could be placed in here that, you know, like say the Beaver Creek guy says, hey, you know, I'll continue that, and kick the lawsuit out.
Well, of course, part of the problem is the entrance that's being used is the entrance through
the Lawson's
lands that they actually own, not lands that are Beaver Creek. So Beaver Creek would not have access to go out through another road. And the permit refers going through and using the same entrance, the same access way.
Right. Okay. But okay, we're given the impression that this isn't going to be a long-term venture because of the development potential.
We'll be back in here
for some other location.
Yes, sir.
Just wondering what happens when it just X amount of time goes by, then it dissolves. Is there a chamber just ceases?
If the Lawsons were to discontinue the use, then it would be void.
Months or a year? What is it?
It just says when the use is discontinued, then
somebody else could continue the use. So say the Lawsons,
Georgialist Group or Beaver Creek Communities could do it if
that owner says,
if they wanted to, if you guys approve
find another
it,
entrance or exit or something, uh-huh. or whatever, okay.
They would need to come back in and have another entrance to the property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would not be able to use the Lawsons.
Well, I know that.
I guess they could.
Well, unless they agreed to it. Yeah, they could agree to it, right.
We do 5-year reviews on dirt pits.
I know, I don't know how we could do something like just a review. We still can't withdraw a permit. It runs with the land.
Can it be put in Lawson Produce LLC and in their name?
No, I don't. It still doesn't run with the name. It runs with the property. So
gotcha.
that piece of ground there could be always. In other words, you're making certain representations about you could stay this, stay that, unless it's put in these conditions. Beaver Creek Communities could operate it or lease it to somebody else, get rid of you guys because they see you making money or, you know, who knows what. But it could operate there, and they could not be as good of neighbors as you would be because you've had a presence there. So our concern is, and then also you got the residential neighborhoods, and this stuff does have some methane. It sits, you know, I guess it can have odors. I don't know. So I'm just wondering if there's a way that Vance talked about a review. A permit could you can put an expiration date on them, but I don't know how. I mean,
we could certainly take a look at that.
But I don't know. I don't know how awkward that is and stuff. My only other suggestion, the younger here, rattled off a bunch of conditions which were pretty wordy. Is there a way that we maybe should get those put into a written form?
Is that what you gave,
I'll submit
Mr.
A copy, yes.
How does it fit? I mean, but how does it fit into what we got? I mean, with the good, the bad.
I mean, we can go right down and just summarize them if you'd like.
What we would need to do is, if the council was inclined to take action today, and if they were inclined to follow the recommendations that Mr. Lawson gave, would be to amend those
My only concern is usually when there's a subtle change or a little. It's easy to do it on the fly. This is pretty extensive. I'd rather see it put into a form like we normally work with, maybe just defer a week and have it brought back under old business with that. Is okay. I heard that though. The suggestions you had here compared to what the suggestions that P
P&Z had submitted. I would just make a recommendation. Normally, when there's a few subtle changes, so we don't shoot from the hip here and maybe make a mistake or something, if Shane would put these together in a document from the applicant, and then we'd have planning and zonings, and then we'd be able to look at them side by side and see how they are integrated or where the difference is. It's hard to work from this document and from P&Z's suggestions. I don't know if anybody else has that concern, but anyway, that's a thought. But we'll take that up at the end here because we haven't heard from any opposition. So
right.
Anyway, just a thought. All right, get it back.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, no, no.
Thank you.
I had previously announced, was there anyone else in favor of this application? Is there anyone in opposition?
Here we go.
And if you'll give your name and address, please.
My name is David Chikosky. My address is 18795 Harbison Road. It's the residential property that's next to Mr. Lawson's business property. I have to apologize. I have an inner ear disorder. It's called Meniere's disease, and I haven't been able to hear what you folks have been saying, so I apologize for that if I can't hear you. I wasn't able to attend the November 10th commission meeting. However, I was able to get a copy of the minutes, and I'd like to thank the members of the commission for their consideration and recommendations in addressing some of the concerns that I had with regard to this business. However, I don't feel as though they have addressed one of the primary problems that I currently have with this mulching operation, and that being the use of the land directly behind my residence for mulch storage and the nuisance odor that blows into my home as a result of it. In the minutes, Mr. Johnson stated that the use with the conditions placed upon it will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. Council members, I'd like to respectfully disagree with this assessment. If a homeowner is unable to open the windows of their residence because of the unpleasant stench that is emanating from a neighboring business, wouldn't you call that an adverse effect? The odor that I'm talking about is not an occasional odor, like when a farmer is fertilizing the fields, or the Allen's chicken plant has an occasional odorous emission. This is a constant 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week stench, and the only reprieve that a homeowner gets from it is when the wind is blowing in an easterly direction and taking the smell over the field. So please, put yourself in my position and ask yourself if you would want this behind your home. I would like to ask the council to please permit restrict the storage area of this material to the land sitting directly behind Mr. Lawson's business property. I would ask that from the northeast corner property marker at the rear of my property heading eastward be established as the line of demarcation, if you will, such that nothing south of that line be permitted for mulch storage use. By doing so, you allow me to open my windows on days when the weather permits and cut back on my energy usage. And energy conservation has an environmental benefit for everyone. A second concern that I feel was insufficiently addressed by the commission was with regard to the size of these piles of mulch and the fire hazard that they create as a result of the possibility of spontaneous combustion. And while I agree that having a water source available at this facility is wise, the commission stated that water shall be available to control dust and for fire prevention. Having water available is not going to prevent a fire from occurring. Restricting the size of these piles of mulch will go a lot further towards fire prevention than any other means, and the commission did not have any recommendations regarding this aspect. If this permit is approved without some restriction on the size of these piles, I fear that we will again be staring at 20 to 25-foot tall mountains of mulch with no feasible means to adequately turn them to prevent a spontaneous combustion fire. I'd like to ask the council members to please consider this aspect of this business and permit restrict the height and volume of mulch storage at this facility. Thank you in advance for your consideration and for your time here today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there any questions?
Yeah, do you think there's an organization like maybe the Department of Agriculture or somebody, because I'm not an expert, how high a pile should be that before it's safe? I mean, is there anybody who's got those kind of calculations that you're aware of? Because I don't know.
I don't have a calculation. I couldn't tell you what's safe. I think certainly a reasonable height of a pile of mulch would be 10 feet, 12 feet.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like I said, if the concern is combustion, I don't know if there's a relationship to heights and this. Does anybody know anything about?
I wouldn't think a fire would be dangerous 20, 25 feet.
Pardon me?
I've had litter piled that high. I don't know. I've
never seen a problem. I don't know if there is ever, or you've got some far ag-related, are you aware of any kind of...
The fence I would find here would be, if it's a oak, it'd be a oak smell. If it's pine, it'd be a pine smell. That would be my things. And as far as the fire, I don't think there'd be any fire. Usually it takes heat and water to make this operate. And I see either one of these going to be here, not in... Stopped up wood.
I don't know.
Do you know of any place that's ever had a fire? I said, do you know of any place?
Talk in your microphone.
Have you experienced a fire where somebody's
no,
had
I've
this?
Never seen a fire yeah. occur there.
Well, that's what I was trying to think. When I was sitting here thinking, I thought, well, have you experienced that? I've never experienced anything like that, and I've been around this biggest part of my life.
Steam coming from the pile.
Yeah, so but that's not necessarily a fire.
That's methane.
Yeah. Well, that's just heat. Some heat from it. That's all. On a cold morning. You'll see that on a cold day, right? On a cold day, chilly day, you'll see that. But not on a warm day, you'll not see that.
He's not an expert.
I'd at least like to submit this.
I see that's some sawdust.
Where the piles currently exist and where I proposed that the site be restricted for storage.
I don't think the danger's there.
Are there any other questions of this witness? Nothing? Thank you.
All right.
Are there any other witnesses that would like to speak in opposition to this application?
Let me just ask, could I ask Mr. Elder Lawson come up, or either one really, but I might as well just get one of them. The concern, Bob, is the storage, and is it possible... And I can remember going through Dagsboro, and when what's-his-name had his, Colic had his operation there, there were odor problems associated with that operation.
But okay. they were not, they're handling a lot different product than we are. We are only handling 99% fresh chips.
Well, we don't go out and invest. We don't know. I'm not an expert. I don't know. I'm just saying.
They've got enough sap green in them that they're not a fire hazard. We've been stacking them 30 feet high for years and had okay. no problem with any fire.
Well, what I'm trying to get at on locating your where you're making these piles.
Yeah.
Is it possible, without upsetting the operation, to moving the stockpiling over towards the railroad track?
The problem there is we're going to end up with more loader travel. Possible noise and dust, and by keeping them close to the dyer grinder, we don't have as much movement of equipment in there, and that's one of his complaints.
Well, it sounds to me what we just heard today was we didn't hear much about equipment running around, but just the 24-hour stockpiled material behind their house and stuff like that. I mean, you're just talking about running a cart around these your little. Operation that little area. I mean,
can we see his diagram and see what?
Yeah, why don't you look at this a minute? He was just there's a suggestion of trying to stockpile back over in that corner near the railroad tracks, and that might resolve. We're trying to balance his concerns and your concerns and everything else.
I mean, basically, what he's asking for is a clear view from his house to, I guess, the Atlantic Ocean, so he can see all the way out there. But I mean, when they put this development in there.
Right. Okay. But he had. But I know. But he hadn't complained about houses. He hadn't. Yeah. He's talking about this one particular issue.
The other
issue,
thing, George, no. on this methane comes from decomposing of flesh, and we. I have never smelled methane gas from our pile. I have smelled pine smell like you smell of a Christmas tree at mm-hmm. Christmas time in your house, but. I'm really shocked that I've not had an offensive odor. I earlier in the planning and zoning, we had some mushroom soil there, and that was for the farm operation, and has been moved and not any put close to him since. And that I agree could have a smell to it, but I think it's a natural wood smell and. Where you're talking pine smell and that kind of stuff, and I don't find it offensive, and I live there.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lawson, when was the last time you had the mushroom soil there?
A year or so.
And the mushroom soil was not part of the mulching, but it was part of the
farm, for the farm operation.
Even
any
with
other
this,
questions?
Even with this proposed line, he'd still be able to see the mulch.
Well, he was. It was more or less. I don't know. I don't remember hearing him say he had a problem seeing any of it. I'm sure we're all aware that it's going to be seen. It's just it was the proximity to his property line, and with the railroad tracks and that over there. There's nobody over there. I'm just wondering: is it how much of an inconvenience, or is it not that great of an inconvenience? I mean, a little bit of traveling time in that site is not going to be that big a deal. It's not like you're driving 2 miles, around into all
that. That's why we agreed with the planning and zoning 100-foot setback to 20-foot setback.
Mm-hmm.
100-foot setback, but not for storage.
The planning and zoning storage was 20 feet setback.
And yeah, 20 feet's 20 pretty
feet.
Close. That's like,
yeah.
I got a surfboard. It's 10 feet, so it's not much more than that. So that's not too much.
We're just going with what they recommend.
I understand. So. We're just trying to. I think 20 feet is. And something like that is not realistic, but I'm just trying to see if is there a possibility locating the stockpiling over there by the tracks, which would be an industrial area anyway, in a way. It's next to the railroad tracks.
And
is that workable?
If we decrease the size of the area, then that means the size of the pile may be taller.
His property's over here, but I'm not sure if that's his building or...
Neither. I think it's part of the produce operation.
Rear north property marker.
So, Mr. Lawson, you indicated that if you decrease the size of your project by moving the piles over, it would make the piles taller. Is that your testimony?
Right. We've always had a 30-foot setback from the railroad tracks, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's required
and,
federal.
You know, if we reduce the area, then that's going to increase the height.
Okay.
And the other thing, and as Mr. Wilson alluded to about the piles, they recommend the height of the pile to it sheds the water better, and they don't have problems with that. So that's another reason why we have the piles higher.
Any other questions? I know you two are back up here to answer a specific question. Mr. Cole, are there any other questions any of the council members have?
Well, the response is you don't want to make your stockpiles over by the railroad track. Is that what you're trying to tell me here? I don't know. I mean, is it possible? It's just what I'm trying to do is 20 feet's awful close, and I think awful close. And there's a way we can accommodate that or something. So if somebody could show us a drawing better where these stockpiles are they just pretty much all just now scattered all over the site?
Well,
different colors,
products. Yeah, four different products.
You got four different products.
Four different products, and they are located in four separate piles. And then we have the stockpile of the unprocessed chips. And
What is that? Looks like one big pile.
The property marker is in the lower right hand corner.
Is that one
monument.
Big pile?
Yes.
And these others are smaller piles here? Yeah, I'm trying. Okay, like this little pile of something that's already been chipped?
I assume so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would...
The gel tower lean in.
Mm-hmm. It just looks like there's more than four piles, is all I'm saying. Okay, and... So...
Well, he recommends 50 feet from the property line, so, I mean...
We're talking about this property line right here. Right? Somebody come over. Sorry. All right, is this the proper line P&Z was talking about, 20 feet? Does anybody, Shane?
The commission just said 20 feet from any neighboring property line.
So all the way around the perimeter, I guess.
Yes.
20 feet. Now, what was the 100 feet? Where's that from?
That's for the dyeing or grinding.
That's just the grinder, the machine.
The grinder, dyer, machine,
and
100
dying.
Feet from
any property.
Any property.
Because that could get into the well. Okay.
The noise.
Well, see, I don't mind 20 feet from out here agricultural, but I think when you got the residential portion of Old Harbison going along here, I think 20 feet seems to be awful close. So I don't know about the rest of you, but along here, 20 feet seems awful close for this material. So I don't know if.
But these are processed materials, and you know it's there's nothing going on. They're just in there for storage, and it's not likely to have any detrimental effect on anything other than just sitting there and waiting to be. And that's our smallest piles too, and so you would assume that that would be what you'd want closest to the property.
What did you have, mushroom waste there one time or something?
Yes, yes.
That's probably where he's coming from.
I haven't.
I've assumed that more so than this year's stuff.
Yes, this stuff has little to no odor other than, quote, pine.
It's certainly not offensive, not what I've been around, but I could see that mushroom stuff. You can smell
yep.
it here in high school at your.
Right, and that was moved immediately and has been taken care of.
Yeah.
So, no, that was for the farm operation.
Well, there's not much to do about that.
Is there a way that we could maybe suggest a buffer from residential properties, which would mean basically only this little corner here, which is at the corner of his little thing, to get something better than 20 feet? Is there anybody here is concerned about? I mean, these are single-family homes going down here.
Yeah, but we're not even extended south to the limit of his property. We're only
right, but nothing's to. I mean, what we're proposing here is nothing to prevent you to go 20 feet from any of your perimeter property. I mean,
right,
in other words, I know you're not doing it now, maybe, but that doesn't mean you can go dump a pile or a couple piles and be doing it. In other words, I don't know. So,
but that isn't getting us where we want to be, and we are a good neighbor.
Personally, I'd rather have that.
Hold on just a second.
Mushroom stuff there.
If there are no other questions from the applicant, and we've already heard from the opposition, you can have a seat. And at
Thank
this
you.
Point, we will close the public hearing on the matter. And, Mr. President, the public hearing is now closed. And if appropriate, if the council deems appropriate, we can close the public record.
Mr. Cole, what is your wish?
Well, I mean, we got the applicant's suggestions and we got the planning and zoning suggestions. I would love to see them integrated somewhere separately somehow, and we could look at them easily. And that way we wouldn't make a mistake. We could also take into consideration our, you know, the opposition's concerns and try to look at it all in written form. It's just it's a little confusing, right? Confusing to me at this point, but. Try to balance it all. And I don't think time is of the essence. You've been doing it for a couple of years. Another couple of weeks, you know, probably wouldn't matter. And I see him shaking his head that he's in agreement. So I would make a suggestion we defer and have P&Z come back with.
You got it piled up right there now?
Some
You got something piled up now, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, probably the smartest thing for you to do, George, is stop by there and see what you think of it.
Well, I could do that. I go by that way all the time, right.
I
don't have any problem doing that. And in the next, but we're not here next week. It'd be the next week. I'm saying so a couple weeks just defer. Yeah, I have any of us have ample time to just drive by there. Yes.
All right, Mr. Moore.
I will make sure I do that.
We can do that after closing the public record, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's already been introduced into the record.
Yeah.
Are we saying that we're going along with what Clifford Lawson is saying?
No, my suggestion is we'll have planning and zonings, which we already have.
Mm-hmm.
In a written form,
and
we'll have planning and zonings and the Lawson's suggestions in written form side by side, and then we could compare them easily, and then we can make our vote at that time when we have them both in front of us, both documents. And,
okay.
And then we'll also have ample time to visit it also.
The public record and the public hearing have been closed. Mr. Cole, could you attempt to articulate that?
I'll make a motion that planning and zoning submit both the applicants and the planning and zoning's recommendations for conditions in two separate documents. And... we'll defer on this matter, and if any of the council would like to visit, they may. But we'll defer and we'll put it back on in the near future.
Is there a second, please?
Second.
Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Application deferred.
Okay. Thank you. The next matter, Mr. Abbott.
Next application is change of zone 1695. This is the application of Thomas Hopkins to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in C400 Sussex County, land line east of U.S. Route 13, 1,250 feet north of Road 532. It's to be located on 21,795 square feet, more or less. The commission received comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District. The applicants were present, gave a presentation. There was one person that was present that spoke in opposition to the application. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1695 for Thomas Hopkins based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is appropriate for commercial zoning since it is located along Route 13, a major north-south thoroughfare in Sussex County. Two, the property is within a town center district according to the county's comprehensive plan update and is appropriate for CR1 zoning. Three, this rezoning to commercial is an infill and will be consistent with the commercial zoning on adjacent properties. Four, the rezoning will allow the applicant to expand his automotive dealership on the adjacent property. There was a motion and second, and it carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. We have not received any additional correspondence.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from council?
This is adjacent, you're saying, to the existing applicant's existing
yes
dealership out there?
Yes.
Now, he doesn't own the land. He must lease the land from Mrs. Miller. Is that what I'm reading here on the, when I look at this?
It's owned by the applicants now.
Okay, So, on this piece of paper, yeah, this would be the existing Hopkins Automotive, right? On the right.
Mm-hmm.
On the right is the existing.
Yes.
Okay, on the right. So that would be the existing. Okay.
And the site we're talking about is. All right.
Okay, are there any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the existing
dealership
okay. And everything then mm-hmm. inside parcel.
Okay.
Hey, seeing no other questions, if you'll introduce yourself, give us your name and address, please.
Hi, I'm Danielle Hopkins. My home address is 6957 Federalsburg Road in Bridgeville.
Okay, and can you explain your application and why it should be granted, please?
Sure. The property, we purchased it with the intent to expand our lot inventory. It's for display of the vehicles. You know, any extra room helps. With frontage on 13, it helps to bring in customers and better our business.
Will you need any more entrances, or are you going to use existing entrances?
Existing entrances.
So there won't be any new entrances, okay.
No.
The next property to the north, I guess, is what's that use right now? I can't.
The property north of Hopkins Automotive is Entenmann's Thrift Shop.
Okay.
I think it's a thrift shop, and then the
right,
be a warehouse.
Many
they
storage
have, yeah.
facility.
I know. Okay, I was just trying to visualize. Okay.
Day old bread there.
A day old bread.
Yeah.
You probably are very familiar. You're probably very familiar with it, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Then you got a company that does like a motor.
And then you got Barton's in there.
Hmm?
Barton's
farther down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, down the street.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. But no entrance will be required.
No.
Exactly what is planned to be on this property?
What
are there
the
any
plan?
Structures going to be added?
There's currently a small house sitting on the property, but it's far enough back it doesn't block where we park the vehicles. Our ultimate plan is to purchase another lot and move the home so that it will just be open land for more vehicles.
Okay. Are you planning to pave any of this area, or is it to be left in its current condition?
Maybe eventually there will be paving, but currently there will not be.
And you do, you own this land now?
Yes.
Are there any other questions from council?
Nope.
Do you have any witnesses that you'd like to call today?
No.
If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, we will close the public hearing. And, Mr. President, if council deems appropriate, we can close the public record on this matter.
And close the public record as well, if there's no objection. And what is the council's pleasure? Read the title?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Moore?
Okay. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 21,795 square feet, more or less.
I'll entertain that motion.
You got it.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve change of zone 1695, application of Thomas Hopkins. Is there any further discussion? We'll take the vote. Please articulate your reasons. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, I vote yes, and for the reasons given by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the condition of PZ.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. It's obvious it's a this rezoning is a commercial infill in an established commercial district.
Mr. Vincent?
It is established commercial district and an infill, and I agree with the findings. Planning and zoning, I vote yes.
It complies with our county's comprehensive land use plan. It's an appropriate use. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Next item, Mr. Abbott.
This is application of change of zone 1696 for Timothy J. Stubbs and Colleen M. Hunter to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a C1 general commercial district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, land lying at the northwest corner of Road 384 and Janus Court, and 400 feet north of Road 370, to be located on 22,172 square feet, more or less. The commission received comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District. The applicants were present and gave a presentation. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Smith stated that he prepared a motion and asked Mr. Robertson to read that motion. He was losing his voice at that point. Mr. Robertson read that Mr. Smith moves that the commission recommend approval of CZ 1696 for a downzoning from a C1 general commercial to an AR1 agricultural residential for Timothy J. Stubbs and Colleen M. Hunter, based upon a record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The applicant is seeking to downzone to AR1 because the use as commercial is impractical. The use is currently residential and will continue to be used that way. This use is consistent with the permitted uses in the AR1 agricultural residential district. Downzoning will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. Downzoning is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan update, and the applicant has stated that the rezoning is necessary to obtain residential mortgage financing for his home. There was a motion, a second, and it was carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried forward. Is it nothing? We received no additional comments to date, and I will pass down a copy of the recorded plot plan for the subdivision.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from council?
Just curious as to how it got zoned C1. It's in a subdivision.
Oops. I think it was part of the original zoning map,
uh-huh.
And then the subdivision came in after,
okay.
Way after.
If you would like to give us your name and address and then explain why you want this zoning, please.
Thank you.
My name is Colleen Hunter. My address is 35526 Janus Court. That's Frankfort, Delaware. And we are applying to change the zoning in order to obtain a mortgage on our home. Remortgage our home.
Refinance. So you're trying to refinance, is my understanding, because you were a C1.
Right,
you were unable to get the refinancing?
We can't get a loan because it's commercial. We do not have a commercial business in this house. We don't plan on starting a commercial business. And we're just trying to refinance our house.
Okay, I need your name and address, sir.
My name's Tim Stubbs, and the address is the same.
Okay, thank you. And so
at least
that
it has been till today, right?
I don't write myself. So, Tim Stubbs, 35526 Janus Court, Frankfort, Delaware.
Okay, thank you. So the only reason you're here is to assist yourself with the refinancing.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this is used as a residential property. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you live there now?
Yes, sir.
Any questions from counsel?
No.
Do you have any witnesses?
No, sir.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak on behalf of this application? Anyone on behalf? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, Mr. President, we will close the public hearing at this point, and if deemed appropriate, close the public record.
We will close the public record as well, and we'll ask you to read the title.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a C1 general commercial district to an AR1 agricultural residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 22,172 square feet of land, more or less.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the change of zone. 1696. Thank you, Mr. Vincent. Is there any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and for the five reasons that were given by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
The downzoning is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan update.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes, it certainly seemed to make sense that it's not a commercial use and they are downzoning. I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. It's not a commercial use, nor is it practical to become a commercial use. Motion carried.
Thank you. Next item,
that's
Mr.
It, folks.
Abbott.
Thank you.
You're done. Painless, wasn't it?
Change zone 1698 is the application of Frank J. Emmy Jr. to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, land lying northwest of Route 24, 850 feet east of Love Creek, west of Love Creek, to be located on 0.51 acres, more or less. Passed down a copy of an exhibit packet and a copy of the survey. They were both made a part of the commission's record. The commission received comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District, the applicant, and legal representation were present. They gave their presentation. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CZ 1698 based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site is appropriate for the change in zone to B1 neighborhood business, given its location on Route 24 in the vicinity of other businesses and commercial uses. Two, the site is located in a growth area according to the comprehensive plan update, and the permitted B1 uses are appropriate and will benefit the nearby residents. Three, the change of zone will not adversely affect road conditions in the area. Four, the project will be served by an on-site well and on-site septic and will be served by county sewer once that service becomes available to this parcel. Five, the change of zone will not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent properties. The site is surrounded by existing or proposed businesses. uses, including the Pelican Landing Shopping Center, Zone B1, which borders a site on the west and north, and a motel to the east. And finally, the final site plan for any proposed use of the property will be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And there was a motion and second. It carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0, and we have not received any additional correspondence to date.
Any questions from council?
Now, this came in under C1 before, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was withdrawn.
Commission
recommended that it be denied, but if the applicant wanted to reapply for a B1, they recommended that the fee be waived if it was filed within 6 weeks, which it was. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
Mr. Fuqua.
For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I represent the applicant, Frank Emmy, who's standing next to me. I'm going to be very brief. I think this is a pretty straightforward application. We did go to Planning and Zoning Commission. What had happened was Mr. Emmy had applied for CR1 zoning, actually, for his parcel that's located on Route 24. It's about a half-acre lot. After the Planning and Zoning hearing, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial, but they did add some information to that recommendation. They told Mr. Emmy that they didn't think it was out of character for him to have some type of business use of his property, but they thought that CR1 was too much. It didn't need to CR1. Basically advised him if he reapplied. I think the fee was waived and he got expedited hearing. So I think at that time, Mr. Emmy came to see me.
That was your mistake.
We immediately withdrew the prior application and filed for B1. Make a long story short, Mr. Emmy actually rented this place and lived there back in the 90s. He purchased the property in 1998 and continued to live there. The area's changed. I don't want to say it's changed. It's always been mixed commercial, but certainly the residential uses in this immediate area had pretty much ceased. He has about the only residence left. It's a rental property now. He actually moved over here around Georgetown. He's a businessman. He has his own business. Make a long story short, to the east, this is just on the other side of the Love Creek Bridge coming away from Route 1. To the east, there's an old motel. Across the street, you're all familiar with the marina that's there. It's where those greenhouses are located. There's a boat storage there. There's office there. If you go further west on Route 24, you have there's a convenience store and a gas station. I know you're all familiar with Peddler's Village. And then coming back toward his property, there's also an office building. And then I think this really kind of sums up everything. If I could submit this exhibit. This is an exhibit showing basically a shopping center that was approved next to his property. It's the Pelican Landing Shopping Center. That was a rezoning to B1 that was approved by the county, I think it was about 2 years ago. Actually, it was in June of 2009, so it was a year and a half ago. And you can see on there that little corner of the property. In yellow is Mr. Emmy's property. The rest of that is the shopping center. Of course, you can see the stores that would be behind his property, the parking adjacent to his property, the bank pad that would be located near his property. And as I said, there's a motel on the other side of his property. So he's pretty much been left with a little island of a house in the middle of what is certainly a commercial business type of area. What his plans are basically is to continue to rent the property for the time being. And the intended use would probably be some type of office or something of that nature. Or if someone wanted to purchase the property, it would be subject to redevelopment. Any commercial business use of the property would have to come back to the county and go to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a site plan review. So this isn't in any nature, in my opinion, speculative rezoning. It's just bringing it into the context and the nature of what already exists in the area. So with that, we'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions of counsel?
I would refrain from using that statement, making a long story short, because it kept getting longer. Your
your comments.
Well, every time you said
in
that
in the context
statement
of me saying it, though, that no, was
well,
short.
That's true. That's true.
It is erect.
My favorite part of your presentation is I'll be brief.
Yes, that's the other part. Don't use those terms, please.
Do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, at this time we can close the public hearing, and if deemed appropriate, Mr. President, we can close the public record.
I believe it is appropriate, and if there's no objection, we'll ask you to read the title.
It's an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 0.51 acres, more or less.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt change of zone 1698 application of Frank J. Hammey Jr. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes, I vote yes, and for the six reasons as stated by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Cole.
I believe that Planning and Zoning's recommendation that this site be a B1 zone would be appropriate because it then puts it in compliance with the neighboring zoning.
Mr. Vincent.
It certainly makes sense that B1 will fit in with the surrounding neighborhood, and recommended Planning and Zoning, I vote yes.
It's an appropriate use. I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr.
Emmy's wasn't that a mistake, was it?
I guess not. We'll let you know.
Mr. President, that concludes the hearings for today.
Thank you. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move you.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Sam, I want you to know Charlie Rank.